Well, I hope everybody's been having a good week. And, this series we've been doing on spiritual warfare for our guests, just to kind of bring everybody up to date, as the Lord impressed this series upon my heart, not long after being here and just realizing the spiritual battles that I was facing and that I felt like many of our families were facing. And if we're all honest, we're all facing. We are all fighting the devil. And we see that because of the Word of God tells us that. And thankfully, though, God just doesn't leave us out there all alone. He doesn't leave us empty-handed. He gives us the exact things that we have need of to engage and to be in this spiritual battle. And that's what we've been discussing. And I'm convinced that that God is seeking to pour down revival upon this local New Testament Baptist church. Do you believe that, church? I hope you do. I hope you are convinced of that, that God is wanting to use us, not because we're anything special, not because we have things to offer God and all of that mess. No, it's because I believe that this church is determined to be used of God. We're simply to come to God on His terms with all our brokenness, with all our weakness, and accept the marvelous grace of Christ and let Him use us for His glory. Therefore, because of that, we're in a battle. A very serious battle. It's not a playground. It's not playtime. It's very, very serious. But it doesn't need to spook us. Okay? Because where are we fighting from, church? A position of what? Victory. Exactly right. What the Word of God says, we are standing from a position of victory that Jesus Christ has already won. He has won the battle for us. He knocked Satan's teeth out at Calvary. And He took away his bite. He took away his sting. And He rose from the grave. And He's at the right hand of the Father, and He's coming back soon. And until then, He says, I am going to give you victory, but you must do it on my terms. You must come to me. And I believe the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, has laid out a plan for the church and for the believer to be able to fight the works of darkness, Satan and his army. Look there in your chapter 6 of Ephesians, chapter 6, and I'm going to just begin reading there in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, okay? Not just part of it, not just a piece of it, but the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's the trickeries. He's a deceiving one. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. There it is, not a piece, not a part, but the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, there it is again, verse 14, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And that was our last point, that was our last message study, was on the loins girt about with truth. And then it says in verse 14, where we're going to be tonight, it says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for this midweek service. Lord, I can't think of any other place I would like to be on this side of eternity, on this Wednesday night, than in this local New Testament church, Lord, with these believers, Lord, to gather together, to look at Your Word together, to study Your Word together, to sing to You, Lord, to encourage each other in the faith, and then gather around Your throne in prayer and intercede and just come before You, God, boldly and humbly. Thank You, God. Thank You for this opportunity. I'm so filled with gratitude for how good You are to me, Lord, and to this church. And I think every one of us, that we are honest, we would say the same thing. Lord, thank You for being so good. And now, Lord, we just pray You'd help us as we look to Thy Word. Holy Spirit, You be the teacher. Lord, You be the convictor. You be the drawer. Lord, You be the comforter that You so are. And we'll thank You now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we move down in the armor. We move down from just the simple command to stand, and that's so clear as we see that repeated over and over again. There's a reason the Holy Spirit emphasizes that command and that action to stand. Because as we sang about earlier, we are standing from a position of victory. We're standing on the solid rock, and we are standing firmly in the firm control of Jesus Christ, those of us that have believed on Him as our personal Savior. So we see stand, but then it says having your loins girt about with truth. We talked about the importance of that and why I believe it's the first one mentioned, because it represents the belt of the soldier, that which holds all the armor together in place. And friends, if you don't have truth, if you do not have truth, and by the way, this is truth. Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." The word of God is truth. If you don't have truth, you don't have anything. You don't. We stand upon truth. We believe the truth of God's word. It keeps us together. Everything we believe, why I'm here tonight, why I'm here worshiping, why I'm here preaching, why we're here praying, it all goes back to truth. Why we have this church, why we're having outreaches, why we're doing missions conferences, it all hinges back to truth. We accept truth by faith that this is the Word of God and have plenty, 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 plenty of reasons to believe that. But we see the importance of the belt. But let's move forward, please, tonight with some time, the little time we have, and talk about this breastplate of righteousness. Paul moves on to the next piece of armor, which is that piece of the armor that protects the vital areas of the torso. It's that which protects the internal organs, the heart itself. The soldier would don that piece and put it on. It would come down from the neck to the waist and the front and back. And you got to remember, during this time, most of the combat was not like we have today. We have weapons, that man's technology. It's incredible. Brother Thomas has told me stories even when he was in the Army. He was in artillery, in fact. And it is incredible with the technology they have. You can be, I don't even know how many miles away, and hit a spot probably the size of a quarter because of GPS technology, longitude and latitude, what they have with missiles, and you can hit your enemy from miles and miles and miles away, but it wasn't the case here. It was hand-to-hand combat, close encounter. And they had these short swords, and buddy, you better have the right protection, because when you locked up with the enemy, he's coming after you. He's coming after your heart. He's coming after your internal organs, because he knows if he can stick you good, you're finished, you're done. And so that piece is the next piece that Paul mentions here to protect the torso, and so important. And I think something very, very interesting that we should take note about this tonight is the very fact that this area of the body and the part of the body, the internal organs of the intestines, the stomach, and the heart, and it represents in the Word of God the bowels. You hear it referred to through our New Testament many times as referred to the bowels. You can see also in the Old Testament. Look over, hold your place, and just flip over to Job real quick. Job, we see it said in Job 20, verse 37. I'll just have you flip here for a minute. Job chapter 20, look at verse 37. Job 20, verse 37. I wrote down the wrong reference, I think. Y'all forgive me for that. Well, let's go over to Psalm 22:14. Same illustration. I'll find that and I'll get it back to you. But Psalm 22, same principle. Psalm 22, verse 14. Psalm 22, verse 14, "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels." It's representing that area of the body and that torso area. Also, look with me in Philemon chapter 1, verse 7, over there in the New Testament. Hold your place there in Ephesians. As I used to say back in the day, Philemon chapter 1, Do you see what the Word of God is saying here? It's talking about the bowels and that we have in our body, in the torso area. Now, one thing I must point out first is you got to understand when we're talking about the bowels, these area that represents such a vital part of our functioning. One of the things that is so necessary to understand is that it also represents in Scripture the emotions, the thinking. It represents the knowledge and the intellect. Because why do you say that? It's because the bowels that are moved that we see, our heart, our emotions, the knowledge, the will, the drive that we have, our very being, that's what the heart represents in Scripture. That's what it signifies. And so therefore we need to protect that. The very will that we have, the very understanding that we have, the very drive that we have. And it represents that which we must protect with great care. You know, that's one of the things Satan will go after. Boy, does he ever go after in our lives. He goes after our emotions, does he not? Man, if he can get us to listen to our emotions, man, we are open game. The way that our minds function, if we can listen to our thoughts enough and our emotions, man, it will totally consume us. It will totally take us. And you know, that conscience of ours and that will and that drive, I'm convinced of this, Brother Ricky, that many of us in our Christian walk, there are times where we're totally disabled because we have accepted a lie of going by our emotions. I believe that we allow that to dictate us and our desires and our drives. I think of people, I've seen people, you've seen them, where they just have lost all hope. And even born-again believers, they just don't seem to have any hope in their lives. But what are they depending upon? What are they letting control them? I tell you, a lot of times it goes back to understanding that they have listened to lies of the devil and it controls their emotions. They're in a, if you will, can I say this, and it's very real. By the way, I don't try to cover this up, because it's a very real problem and a very real battle that all of us will face at least one time in our life, many of us many, but that is the battle of depression. It is a very real thing. It is because of the curse of sin, but what is depression? Depression is definitely involves the emotions of the mind, the body, and it just puts us in a position of retreat. It puts us in a position of also denial and just kind of withdrawing from all things. And we see that in the devil. Boy, he really takes that, doesn't he? We see it around us where people are affected and their emotions. And listen, if Satan can attack our thinking and our will and our emotions and our desires and our drive, if he can attack those, boy, he can totally enable the Christian soldier. That's why the breastplate of righteousness, I think, is utterly important. It is so important. And one thing that we need to realize is this breastplate of righteousness, first of all, represents what? I believe it first represents our position in Jesus Christ. A positional righteousness. A positional righteousness. Can anybody, we'll do a little feedback here tonight, you're responding. Can anybody think of a verse that comes to mind that signifies and proves that our righteousness is in Jesus Christ? Anybody want to give a shot? We have the righteousness of Christ to our account. Anybody want to give it a shot? I put you on the spot, didn't I? It says where we have the righteousness of Christ has been made unto us. Anybody want to give it a shot? I'll give you a hint. It's in Corinthians. 1:30? Can you read it? What does it say? A Amen. Amen. That's not the one I was thinking about, but that one is just as good, Sister Karen. Anybody else have one they can think of? It's in 2 Corinthians. Anybody want to give it a shot? What was that? What was that? 1 Corinthians chapter 130. 1 Corinthians 130. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And this is something you really need to, this is a verse that would be great to memorize and meditate upon, because this is a proof that we have been given the righteousness of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It says, "For He hath made Him," that's God the Father, "hath made Jesus Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the" what, church? "Righteousness of God in Him." You see, we stand right now in this warfare that we are in. We stand from a position of victory, and this breastplate of righteousness comes from Jesus Christ. God has imputed unto us. You'll see that in the book of Romans. That word imputing means been put to our account. We have been given the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So when God sees me, not because of anything I've done, not because of good works, not because of good attendance, not because of giving, but because of my faith in Jesus Christ, when God sees me, He sees the holiness and the righteousness of His Son. I stand redeemed, and so do you. If you put your faith and your faith in Jesus alone at some point in your life where you're not depending upon anything but the blood of Jesus Christ, I need no argument. I need no plea. It is enough that Jesus died for me. I'm thankful for the songwriter that said that. But we see that we do have the righteousness of Christ because of our faith in Him. And that is to understand right off, because, listen, it will mess with your mind. Brother Thomas, I don't know of anything that I've seen in my Christian life that has messed with Christians' minds, all right? With the mind of Christians, other than this thing of eternal security. Now, we'll talk more about that, but the idea is what I'm saying is this, almost this good works salvation. It will mess with your mind. It will mess with your emotions. It will have. I've seen the devil wreak havoc in the believer's life because they are constantly thinking that they have to perform and that they have to do all these things to have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And one of the best things we can do tonight, if you haven't already, is realize your position and before God is righteousness. Not because of what you've done, but because of what He did. And the devil, he will come and try to tell you otherwise. Oh, no, that's not enough. Oh, no, you don't have, look what you've done. Look what you said. Look what you did. Look where you went. Look at your attitude. But listen, you got to tell the devil, you're not, I'll just say it, okay, because he's mean to me, I'll be mean to him. He's an idiot, okay? Because why do I say that? Because he does not understand that, listen, I don't have to pay anything for my salvation. Jesus paid it all. The righteousness of Jesus Christ has been imputed unto my account. If he thinks he can convince a child of God that we don't have his righteousness, listen, that's because the child of God is not submitting themselves to the Word of God, because the righteousness has been imputed unto our account. That's this first part of the armor I want us to see. Look over with me in Philippians. Philippians chapter number 3. Now, if anybody could earn their way to heaven, this is impossible, but if anybody could earn their way to heaven, I would think it might be the Apostle Paul, because of what he did for the Lord and the outstanding Christian he was. But he was humble and he knew better than that. He knew himself. There's no way somebody can work their way to heaven. But look what he says in chapter 3 and verse 8 and 9. It says here, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Get this, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And get this in verse 9, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that, my friend, if you are a born-again child of God, that is your breastplate of righteousness. And when the devil comes after you, and he will, be sure that you have to reckon yourself unto this word and to this truth. You have to submit yourself that the fact that the righteousness of Christ has been put to your account by faith, not because of what you've done and your earnings. It is, has nothing to do with that. Your position of righteousness. But secondly, this the flip side of this armor is just as important in spiritual warfare. It's just as important, church, and it's this. Not just our positional righteousness, but it is our practical righteousness. It's just as important in the spiritual warfare that we are in with what the Word of God says back in our passage. Go back to Ephesians, where it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, and down the line, spiritual wickedness in high places. So what are you talking about, Pastor? What are you talking about? Okay, I got the positional thing right. I got the positional righteousness because my faith is in Christ, so I'm ready to go to battle. Well, wait a minute, are you? Do you truly have that? Have you donned the whole armor there, the breastplate of righteousness? Because the other flip side of that is the practical righteousness, and that comes from a choice of the will. All right? So let me just sort of simplify what I'm saying tonight for this point before I get ahead of myself. Folks, we're not robots. God gives us the power. I have no power within myself, but I have to make a choice to make myself available to God. As the Word of God says, present yourselves a living sacrifice. Present yourself. Present your instruments. Your bodies as instruments of righteousness. Your bodies that includes your mind, your thinking, your body, your will. All of those things that talk about come from practical righteousness. My pastor Camp used to say all the time, when it comes to doing right, it's a choice of the will. God's not going to make the choice for you. He will empower you. He will encourage you. He will guide you. He will uphold you. But it will first come from a choice of the will. And get it? That's where the breastplate of righteousness comes in, because Satan will attack the will. He will try to zap your will. He will try to take away all your will. But it has to be there. A choice of the will. And there is, and we'd be fooling ourselves if we all didn't admit in this room tonight that there is a very real struggle with personal holiness. Is there not, church? There is a very real struggle with personal holiness. That's why Paul said, who again, if there's anybody that could make it to heaven, I would probably look to the Apostle Paul. I know that's not true, and that's not possible, but if there's anybody, I'd look to him. And guess what he said in Philippians? He said, I'm pressing toward the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. What does that word press mean? I wish we had time to dig into that tonight. But that word press simply means struggling. He said, Philippians, I'm struggling. Yes, I'm fighting. Yes, I'm getting knocked down. Yes, I'm getting hurt. Yes, I'm getting stomped on, but I'm getting back up. And I'm continuing. I'm pressing toward the mark. And that comes from the will to make himself available to the Lord God. Paul said, I press toward the mark. There must be a true concerted effort that is led by the Holy Spirit. That is led by the Holy Spirit. Now, most of our vehicles are going to get us to our next destination, Lord willing, when we leave here tonight. If all of them got gas in them, all are mechanically in order, and all of that good stuff, it should get you to the next destination, okay? And but the thing about it is, you have to give your concerted effort to get in that car, to start that engine, and do your part. And you know, God expects us to do our part, folks. We can't just stand by and say, well, God's just going to do it. I just believe He can, but I'm just waiting. It don't work like that. You've got to make yourself available, be in the ready position to go forward, active, and letting the Holy Spirit guide you and empower you. Listen to what J.C. Ryle had to say about this theme of this subject of spiritual warfare when it comes to personal righteousness in the sense of a practical righteousness, personal holiness. It is more than just personal encounters with the devil and demons and this thing of spiritual warfare. It goes even more than that. It's an inner struggle for personal holiness. Instead of pursuing holiness, many Christians are wearing paper armor. Too many have substituted seminars, techniques, and methods for the spiritual armor of Ephesians chapter 6. And folks, we can't depend on those things. We got to get on the Word of God. That's what truth is. And listen to what else he said. He said, this is another statement that he made that I thought was just outstanding and encouraged me. He said, let us take care that our own personal religion, and I like to use relationship there, but this is how he stated, is real, genuine, and true. He said, the saddest symptom about many so-called Christians is the utter absence, get that, the utter absence of anything like conflict and fight in their Christianity. In other words, they just seem like they're floating. There doesn't seem to be any battle going on. He says they eat, they drink, they dress, they work, they amuse themselves, they get money, they spend money, they go through a scanty round of formal religious services once or twice every week. But of the great spiritual warfare, its watchings and strugglings, its agonies and anxieties, its battles and contests, of all this they appear to know nothing at all. Let us take care that this case is not our own. It's a battle. It's a real battle. And God help us if we ever think we're just going to float through. No, we have to, yes, yield ourselves. And God's going to give the ability to do that. We see that in the Word of God. We see that so clear already in our passages. He's given us the armor. But we must put on the armor. And we must use the armor daily. And God will bless that as we do that. You know, I don't want to discredit at all or the diagnoses of mental disabilities and chemical imbalances in individuals. I'm not here to discredit all of those cases, but I will say this. I'm afraid that our society is forever trying to make excuses for sin. I really believe that. I believe they're doing everything they can to excuse why people do what they do against the God of heaven, even Christians. And Christians accept the lie and say, I've talked to many people, why do you do this? Well, I've been diagnosed with this. I've been diagnosed with that. Really? You've been told by that? Because I've said that. Well, who told you that? My doctor did. And I'm not discrediting all those cases. Don't get me wrong here, church, but I think we got to be careful of making excuses for our sin. There's a serious need of personal holiness that comes from us yielding ourselves to Almighty God and allowing Him to have His way in our lives. Yes, the position part, taken care of. Hallelujah. I'm thankful. Satan can't attack me there. He can try, but it's settled. Jesus said it's finished. I came to Him on His terms. He imputed to me His righteousness. That's covered. But what about my practical holiness? What about my practical righteousness? That which I'm living each day of my life, each moment. What am I allowing in my life that's given Satan a foothold? You know, when those soldiers came in at short distances with those daggers and those short swords, man, that sharp, fine point, boy, it would find any little crevice it could, any little crack, any little opening where he could get that dagger into that Roman soldier and finish him off, he would find it. And I want to tell you something. Listen, Satan will do the same thing to us. Is there someone here tonight that you got something in your life and man, you are just opening yourself for Satan to put the dagger in, to take you out, You're giving him an opening. You're giving him an opening. And I say tonight, you say no. You say tonight, no, devil. I'm closing it off and I'm putting on the breastplate of righteousness. You cannot have my life. You cannot have my heart. You can't have my will. You can't have my drive. You can't have my emotions. I'm not letting you rob me of those things. Those things are for God to use for His glory. That's what God is intending for us to do. One more passage and then we're going to close in prayer. Look with me over in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Look at verse 12. Romans chapter 13, verse 12 says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off," that's our responsibility again, "the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." The armor of light. "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." That's personal responsibility right there that God is putting upon us and saying, listen, you have a responsibility. I will do mine, but you must do yours. And I believe that is something we need to take heed to. How can we do that? How do we do our practical part? Let me read these things off to you without dwelling on them, and then we're going to close in prayer. One is being in the Word of God daily. Being in this Word, listen, communing with the Lord daily. Do you have a quiet time? Do you have a daily time? Teenagers, young people, that's for you too. It's not just for adults. You claim to be a child of God, guess what? You got to get in the Word. You got to have the Word of God. We see that we need to be in the Word daily for this to engage and to have this personal holiness. We got to let God speak to us. The psalmist said, "Thy word and have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." And then also we need to be in communion daily with Him. Hey, listen, are you talking to the one that's going to empower you to overcome? He's the one that will give you that victory by communing with Him daily. And it's more than just saying, "Lord, thank you for the food that day." It goes further than that. Are you wrestling with Him? Are you communing and interceding? That will come. Personal holiness will come with great struggle. Personal holiness is not going to come with a light switch. It's going to come with some wrestling. Being on guard daily. I'm telling you what, make no provisions for the flesh. We have to be on guard daily, do we not? Daily. Daily. Moment by moment. Boy, you talk about making provisions for the flesh. Let's be on guard daily. What about this? Be sensitive. Be sensitive to God's Spirit. When He convicts you about something, get it right. Get it right. Because this is what you do. You tell the devil, when you do that, when you get right with mom and dad, spouses, you get right with each other, whatever, you know what you're telling the devil? "I don't want anything to do with you. I don't want you in my family. I don't want you between my husband, my wife. I don't want you between my children. I do not want anything to do with you." And you know what? You just make things right. "I don't want to hinder the Spirit of the living God working in my church. Lord, I need to get this right." And there, that is personal. That brings personal holiness, folks. A sensitivity to God's Spirit convicting us. That helps with that breastplate of righteousness. You know, here's one. It's not the most important for sure, but I tell you, I put it up there. Is this accountability? I wasn't even planning on saying this, but. God brought it to my mind, and it was no accident that Brother Thomas, you were here tonight for this message. It's wonderful how God just brings those things together without me doing anything, and He does it for you too. But Brother Thomas has been vitally important in my life in holding me accountable. And time and time we've talked about things, and he's held me accountable for my actions, and he's done it in a loving way as a brother in Christ. We've talked through things, and we've been through things, and can I say that to each of you? If you don't have an accountability partner, whether it be a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ or a spouse, whatever, get one. Because they will see things. Get this. This is humbling. Let's eat some humble pie here tonight. They will see things that you do not. And it's one of the most humble things, Brother Derek, that we can ask somebody is,
what do you see in my life that I need to change? Maybe a blind spot. Is there something that you've seen that maybe I need to work on? Because we in our self-love and our self-pity sometimes, boy, we got to be so careful. Don't be afraid to ask somebody, to allow somebody to speak to you, because that will help you with your armor, your breastplate of righteousness. It will protect you while you go in battle. And then lastly, this last point, again, I'm not going to dwell on it. Just be ready, folks. Let's be ready. Let's ask God to help us. Let's be ready to wrestle. You know, I don't know if y'all like boxing. I grew up watching boxing with my dad. Man, Tuesday night fights. Man, we would Friday night fights. I remember I used to really enjoy watching boxing with my dad. And I still like to watch a good boxing match from time to time. But one of my favorite parts as a little boy, when the matches would come, especially that last match, was the heavyweight guys. Man, those were my favorites to watch those heavy. When in my days, I watched Mike Tyson fight. But man, it was always exciting for me. But one of my favorite parts as a kid, when they would get in there in that ring and that announcer would come in, and one of the things he would say, "Let's get ready to rumble!" Man, you talk about the blood moving, people are getting excited, man. I'm looking at my dad, I'm excited, man. We're getting ready to see a fight. But you know one thing we need to do, Christians? We need to say that spiritually. Let's get ready to rumble. Because this thing's serious. Satan's going to fight us. He's coming after us with all his fiery darts. Let's don the whole armor of God. And stand, doing all to withstand, stand! Having our loins girt about with truth, with that breastplate of righteousness. Hey, it's a real battle. And we can be ready, and we can get the victory as we let God work through us. Present ourselves. There's the positional righteousness of the breastplate of righteousness, and then there's that practical righteousness, personal holiness. Let's pray. Father, I do pray that you would help us to understand that this breastplate of righteousness, it is an armor of protection. And Lord, we know that we're protected by the righteousness of Jesus Christ positionally. And we're thankful for that. But then, Lord, we understand we have to do our part in the practical aspect of our righteousness. I pray you'd help us with that. I pray there's someone here struggling with that, Lord. They're giving so many avenues. You're giving so many provisions for Satan to come and to hurt them and harm them and ultimately destroy them. I pray you would give great victory tonight as they turn back to you and put their whole armor back on. Lord, we'll make sure we give you the glory, honor, and praise. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.